Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The term that I've used is pole position.
It's time for Pole's Position.
So the number one pick, by the way, for the Bears is secured.
Brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. There when you need it.
The Chicago Bears are on the clock.
What will Ryan Poles do with the number one pick?
You guys are drafting Caleb Williams number one overall.
We'll see.
Congratulations.
Did it.
Congratulations.
Yep.
Congratulations. You did it. Okay, so.
We're counting down the days to the NFL draft.
Two picks, wow.
With the ninth pick in the 2024 NFL draft. The Chicago Bears select
9999.
So I listen to Pole's Position for the last 3 months, every single day, because apparently I don't need to get anywhere with my life, and it's been fantastic.
Sit back and watch them go.
With the first pick, the Chicago Bears select
the Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Oh yeah, the Pole's Position. Anthony Herron was rocking out to that. That song slaps.
It's my
doesn't it?
Favorite work of Chris Hanahan's.
It's the one?
It is. Yep.
99999.
That part especially.
Anytime we can mix Hitler with a video theme song. Mm. You know what I mean? Were you a Pole Position guy? A driver?
I thought you were about to ask me if I was a Hitler guy.
No.
Am I a Pole Position guy? I didn't get to play it a lot. We didn't do a bunch of video. I really thought that was about to come out of your mouth. I didn't play a lot of video games as a kid.
Oh, really?
There was a cartoon associated with it.
Oh, yes.
And so I would hear the theme song to the cartoon.
Got you.
In my head quite a bit back in the day.
You were out there playing sports, which is why you turned into an outstanding athlete.
Designated Hitler.
That guy. Now, he's a fan. But Anthony Herron, you turned into a big-time college football player, an NFL player, arena league player. Arena League coach, too? Do I have
also
that right?
Coach, yep. Executive, yeah. You name it. I've done it.
Damn it.
Yeah.
And Anthony knows a lot about the football. I love getting a chance to pick your brain. So we thought we'd hang out in Pole's Position a little bit today, and I wanted to throw some of the recent topics at you to delve into your thoughts about
them. Okay, good.
Okay.
And trust me, if they've been topics over the last 3 weeks that have already been covered here, I haven't heard them. So they're going to be fresh to me.
No, that's all good. And,
yeah.
And really what it is, I mean, look, Pole's is in a spot. We know Caleb is one. Mm-hmm. And then we start thinking about what nine is going to be all about.
All right.
If I told you that Roma Dunze was available at 9, are you running to the podium and taking him? Are you going wide receiver?
It depends who else is on the board. I would love for the Bears to get some edge rush help there. And there are some guys that could be available there around the top 10 who I think could be worthy of that.
And okay, so let's say it right now. If Roma Dunze and Dallas Turner are both there at 9, what is your decision if you're Ryan Pohl?
I'd go Roma Dunze. I'd go Roma Dunze over Dallas Turner because I don't think Dallas Turner is the fit as a defensive end for the Bears. Dallas Turner is an exceptional edge rusher. He, to me, feels more like a 3-4 outside linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be more like an odd front rush from a two-point stance guy as opposed to the four-down look that the Bears tend to run. So I don't love Dallas Turner as much in fitting the Matt Eberflus defensive scheme as an edge defender. That to me is it's not a complete square peg round hole, but it doesn't fit as well what the Bears do.
Is there an edge rusher that you do love as a perfect fit opposite Montez Sweat?
I'm a Jared Verse guy.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's talk about it. Guy played 5 years of college football.
Mm-hmm.
I forget where he started. It was somewhere small before he ended
somewhere small before getting to Florida State.
Yeah, before he ended up at Florida State. Tell us what you like about Dallas Turner as a fit in the Tampa 2.
He is the most the most natural edge, like defensive end, just hand in the dirt guy who can set the edge as a run defender, who can rush the quarterback, both turning the corner and turning speed to power as well. So he's got a, you know, fairly varied toolbox. He's not as fluid of a finesse rusher as Laiatu Latu is, you know, coming out of UCLA. Different styles of player. Latu, also a guy who's really more of a 3-4 outside backer. He's got more experience with his hand in the dirt than Dallas Turner does. Dallas Turner's just more of a raw, moldable lump of clay who's an exceptional athlete with a lot of pass rush game. He can throw a fastball at you turning the corner, but he doesn't have the all-around rush bag that you really hope for a guy who's going to be drafted in the top 10. And again, he just hasn't had his hand in the dirt as much. Jared Verse has done that. I would prefer if they could trade down from 9.
I was just going to say, because at 9, I mean, is Jared Verse the kind of player
that you
want?
I don't think any of them are. I don't love any of the edge rushing defenders at number 9. The one who has the physical profile. There's two to me that have the physical profile that you say, yeah, maybe that makes sense. Dallas Turner, physical profile could really make a lot of sense. Chop Robinson, just the pure physical profile, could make a lot of sense. He doesn't have the overall production that you would hope for. So to me, if you trade down even further into the teens, you know, Jared Verse probably isn't going to get past like 12 or 13, I don't think. I think he's, from guys I've talked to and just my evaluation of him, he's a really well-regarded guy. Just his film, his tape, is that's a high-level defensive end, not pure outside linebacker pass rushing guy to the extent that some others are. But pure four-down defensive end,
yeah,
that's Jared Verse more so than some of the others.
All right, now I love Chop Robinson as an athletic marvel, but is he a fit? Is he a fit schematically? I thought he's more similar to Turner, like you're talking about, like a speed guy off the edge, a Von Miller type.
He's a speed guy, but he's had his hand in the dirt. There is a difference. You know, when you're going to be tasked with it, there was a, you know, obviously Leonard Floyd. We covered his career a lot with the Bears.
Yes,
and he was a guy who got drafted in the top 10 to come in and immediately solve the Bears' pass rush ails. That was a problem because that's not who he was in college and it's not who he ended up projecting to in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Floyd has had a put a really nice career together and put up nice sack numbers as a Swiss Army knife, as a guy in coverage, as a run defender, as a pass rusher with some skill to do that that's really developed over time. That, to me, is more Dallas Turner. Dallas Turner is that. He's more Leonard Floyd archetype than just a guy who you better double-team him or he's going to wreck your evening, you know, as a pass rusher off the corner.
Yeah.
Dallas Turner, more comparable to Leonard Floyd. I think Jared Verse, a true defensive end. Chop Robinson, true defensive end at Penn State with his hand in the dirt, setting the edge against the run. Now, the scheme that they ran with Manny Diaz as the defensive coordinator, yes, there was a lot of attack. There was a lot of flying up the field, but that equates to what Matt Eberflus would like to do. You know, you do need to be able to be gap conscious within the Bears' defensive scheme, but you need to apply force into blockers while maintaining your gap. But they still want you getting into the backfield. There's just not as much movement and stunting on rundowns in this NFL four-down front as opposed to what Chop Robinson did in college.
Okay, I want to go to the middle of the defensive line in a second, but let's stay on the edge. I have seen Laiatu Latu anywhere from 9 or 10 in the draft to like 28 or 30 in the draft in a wide variety of mocks, and I'm trying to figure out, that's a pretty volatile range.
Yeah.
When you talk about an edge rusher. So it's hard to get excited about it because I'm not sure exactly what I'm looking at. Where do you think he is?
Laiatu Latu is kind of the defensive line version of J.J. McCarthy, where J.J. McCarthy might be a top 5 pick. J.J. McCarthy might be somewhere in the low 20s, you know, because the film is promising while at the same time the overall draft profile, there's enough to be hesitant about when drafting him. There's, of course, the injury concerns from early in his career.
Yeah, multiple injuries that cost him full seasons.
Cost him full seasons, had medical professionals saying you should never play football again. Now, Jalen Phillips ended up finishing his career at UCLA and came back after being told to retire. And, you know, he ended up, deciding to come back. He finishes began his career at UCLA, finished at Miami, and has gone on to have a nice career in the National Football League. He got a couple of injuries, but just a long, angular, you know, edge rusher, outside linebacker, defensive end type. Laiatu Latu ends up finishing his career at UCLA after being told early in his career that he should maybe retire from football, but put together a couple of healthy seasons. His film is this naturally fluid, very versatile sort of pass rusher. He can bring speed. He can bring counters. He's not the imposing physical profile that you hope for a top 10 pick. But just as a pure finesse pass rusher, there's no one as varied and as skilled and as fluid as Leao Tulatu comparing with anyone else in the draft. But he's just not as imposing, explosive with speed or power. Now, his 40 time was nice. His 40 time will help him in his perception with a number of people. But that doesn't always show with the explosive speed on film.
All right, so you wouldn't be that psyched about him as a top 10 pick. Or even
not as a top 10 pick. No.
Top 15.
Even after the combine numbers. I was pleasantly surprised with the combine numbers because that made him some money. But no, he to me is not someone. Top 10 pick to me is you want them to come in and have stud written all over them. Now, you got no guarantees about that. But a Darnell Wright who looks like they belong. There's going to be rookie mistakes, but look like they belong from day one. You're hoping for that in the top 10.
So would you consider Byron Murphy? Would you consider the three tech, the interior defensive tackle from Texas, Byron Murphy, at 9? Or even if you traded down, you're there at 12 or 13.
I mean, there's potential there because there's some boom or bust to it. You know, because the physical profile looks like a guy who can play some high-level three technique. And there are certain games where Byron Murphy does look like that real havoc wreaker that you hope for on the interior of a defensive front like this that can get into the backfield, that plays with violence, that can explode into blockers and close on guys with a flat back and just dent the line of scrimmage consistently. That's not their snap in and snap out. So certain film, you put it on and say, yeah, that's a definite top 10, maybe top 5 pick. Every game doesn't look like that from him, though. So it's worthy of being concerned. But for the Bears, where, you know, they need to hope for hitting on a guy with that number 9 pick. So Roma Dunze is the safer bet. You know, let's assume Marvin Harrison Jr. is off the board. One of these top 3 receivers, that is the safer bet at number 9.
Yeah.
But to me, you know, by comparison to what the Bears need, they don't need a third or fourth receiver as much as they would need another speed rusher. And that's where if you can get good value to trade out of the top 10 and still get a Jared Verse or maybe down a little lower, a Chop Robinson with a big physical profile for a Chop Robinson, then maybe you just say, here's your one role. Do that. We'll find somebody else to hit blocks on first and second down. You wreak havoc on third down because we just don't have someone else to do that opposite Montez Sweat.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you trade well out of number 9 and still get a guy with a big physical profile there.
Damn. All right, so I'm hearing you on the defensive front. It sounds like if Adunze's gone or if they decide they want to go defense – then maybe the trade down makes the most sense because you just gave us a bunch of names, and I agree that a bunch of those different players could be a fit, and if they pick one they like and they think they can get them at 13, 14, 15 or whatever, but, you know, obviously somebody has to want to trade up. What if they're locked in on wideout, and what if they're locked in on this idea of Keenan Allen's only here for 1 year, we're not going to be up here in this range too much more, you know? I mean, do you dare consider...
But if Joe Alt is there at 9, do you really lock yourself in on wide? I mean,
in an example world, if they are. I think Alt's going to be gone.
Sure, he might be. But if J.J. McCarthy goes there, then it knocks other guys down. If somebody does love the pass rusher, he might. And, if, you know, how many receivers are we in love with at that point,
so
too?
If it's Alt,
guys could get knocked down.
If it's Alt and Adunze are both there?
Then I would go Alt.
I would
err on the side of offensive tackle over receiver.
Is there another tackle that you would do that same with? Either Fatanu out of Washington or Latu from Penn State? Would you consider that over wide receiver? Like, are either one of those?
I feel strongest about Joe Alt being a day one ready guy. And this is a day one ready type season for the Bears. We're past just taking flyers. Guys got to come in and be ready to help you win games in this season, especially with a rookie quarterback. So I think Joe Alt, he can come in and help you day one. I'm not as certain about the other guys. If you trade out of number 9, Olu Fashanu, again, going physical profile. You trade out of the top 10, that's where I'm more comfortable with you reaching. You go down to like 15 or so, Olu Fashanu's physical profile out of Penn State is the most elite physical profile of any offensive tackle in this draft. And then you compare him with Braxton Jones and say, you know what? Braxton Jones, we've seen you start a lot of games. You can be dependable. And then if it's not working or if Olu Fashanu bypasses you at some point, now you got multiple guys there and Jones maybe becomes your swing tackle. Whereas Joe Alt comes in right away, you know that's your starter day one and Jones immediately becomes your swing tackle.
See, I'm a guy, I'm okay with the idea of a trade down, even if Odunze is there. Like, go ahead and trade down, get that defensive piece, and get a wide receiver as well in this draft with other stuff that you pick up, because there are wide receivers that I like a little further down.
Heard you talk a lot of Keon Coleman.
Keon Coleman, Adonai Mitchell. I think this is, there are a lot of wideouts in this draft. I think there's going to be a lot of wideouts in next year's draft, too, and stuff like that.
And the draft after that.
Yeah, but I mean, do you have any that you like beyond Adunze that you feel that good about? Or if Adunze's there, and I want a wide receiver, am I an idiot for considering the trade down still?
No, I think that...
Thank you, I'm not an idiot.
No, you're not an idiot.
Good night, everybody.
The top three.
All right, see you later.
But the top three, I do think there's some separation in my mind between the top three and the rest of the group.
Anybody that you would think about trading up for? Anybody that you would dare, like next year's second round pick that you got
Keenan
from
Allen
Carolina?
Move. Not after the Keenan Allen move. For a receiver, not after Keenan Allen.
Neighbors or even Marvin,
it feels gluttonous to me to do that. I don't think you need to be gluttonous at receiver. You still have other holes. You still need a more solidified offensive line. You still need another edge rusher or three. So to me, it's still about either getting someone you feel like will come in and contribute right away or someone with a big profile that you think will develop quickly into a real contributor for you, as opposed to just saying, let's get gluttonous in that wideout room. It doesn't feel necessary.
Okay. This hour on 670 The Score on Parkins and Spiegel, we're going to check in with the Midday Show and see what exciting things they've been up to in Vegas. We're going to revisit our
like
lead.
A live feed of them partying?
Yeah,
is that what we're about to hear?
We're going to revisit the part of our lead from earlier in the day, the O.J. Simpson the archetypal American life with the fall from grace and everything. Got some incredible input from you listeners that we will share in our next segment. But you told me that earlier today you were involved in a big Caleb Williams breakdown as you worked at the Big Ten Network.
Uh-huh.
Was that live today or were you just taping something?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So what did you learn?
Cameras and everything.
Oh, fancy. What did you learn? What did you glean from that process that would be good for our listeners to know in terms of dissecting Caleb? Because USC is now essentially a Big Ten team.
Right. They're basically a Big Ten squad. A couple months from now, they'll officially be Big Ten
nice
squad.
Sure, nice fudge by
we're
you
working
guys.
On it. Right. Yeah. But the way that Caleb plays the game is to me, I think the bigger concern where I would like his game to mature. I have more concern about that, more query about that than I do anything that's going on off the field. I've talked about that on this show a bit before. But the film of Caleb Williams, when you're really looking at how he plays quarterback, the maturity that needs to take place has to happen within the pocket. And if that does take place, I think that, Matt Eberflus as his head coach, being a defensive-minded guy and, knowing that he wants to run the football, that's all useful to a young quarterback. But where Caleb is special is beyond the X's and O's. Where Caleb is special is doing the things that are more improvisational, but where he needs to become more consistent is the way he operates within the pocket. And that's where a team and a roster, a front office, and a bunch of players who've kind of been through the amount of losing the Bears have been through in recent years, bringing a rookie quarterback in to refine Caleb Williams as quickly as possible will be a part of the task here, because there are certain guys like Matt Eberflus, like Caleb, can manage a step back for the Bears this season because he'll be here for years to come. Matt Eberflus can't. And so that, to me, will be, I think, a unique sort of juxtaposition for Matt Eberflus.
What do you mean he can't manage? Like if they take a step back, his job security is in trouble?
I don't think 5 wins gets it done for Matt Eberflus this season. 5 wins will be fine, and if Caleb Williams throws for a lot of passing yards and turns it over a bunch,
sure,
then Caleb Williams will be fine if he has highlights and everything else.
If that happens, though, then we're in like a lot of Bears fans' nightmare scenario where you're firing the head coach again and thereby
the
maybe
going into year two.
Right, and maybe the offensive coordinator as well.
That to me is the bigger risk that Ryan Poles has taken here, is sticking with Matt Eberflus with the young quarterback incoming. That's a bigger risk than moving on at QB.
Okay.
Because now you're saddling your QB with this lame duck head coach.
If that were to happen and the offense is actually looking pretty good, like Caleb's looking pretty good, but somehow they fall back on defense or there's some other issues or that kind of thing, but you're feeling pretty good about the offense, Thomas Brown, possible head coach. Year two. Thoughts?
I mean, we're just looking for assistance on the staff to be a head coach. I mean,
it's not Shane Waldron. It's not Shane Waldron.
Yeah, it's someone below Shane Waldron. I mean, that doesn't speak to me as the guy who will lead the Bears to a championship. Now, there's some meat on the bone there. He may develop into that, but
awfully,
from what I know so far,
awfully respected coach around these parts.
Yeah, a lot of position coaches are very well respected as position coaches.
Yeah, what do you know? What'd you ever do in football, Mr. Man? All right, one more question. Quarterback room.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay if this is the quarterback room? If the quarterback room is Caleb and then Tyson Bagent as your backup that you feel like can get you through a game and can learn systems and is totally happy in that role, and then Brett Rypien is your old head, even though he's not that old, but he's the guy who knows Shane Waldron's system. They spent time in Seattle together last year. Rippin's been around the league a little while. Are you okay with that as your quarterback room, or do you need some other veteran to back them
up? You could certainly upgrade it, but is it passable? Is it survivable, assuming health? Sure. You know, assuming health of Caleb, then none of it matters. You just want some good voices in Caleb's ear. And in addition to Shane Waldron, from everything I'm hearing, what I'm being told, everything he did out in Seattle and elsewhere, we'll need to ramp up the demanding nature of his coaching style to really, you know, try to refine Caleb Williams' game. Then to have a veteran in the room who can help parse through some of that for a young quarterback will matter. Is that Brett Rypien? I don't know his personality well enough to say that that's the benefit he brings.
Yeah,
but
none of us do.
Yeah.
You're right. That's
right.
Honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know him yet. You know, we don't even know too many reports of him. All right, good stuff. Anthony Herron is the man who helped us through polls position today, which is brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. There when you need us. Thank you to Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. Well, it happened. I've angered the Fatty Arbuckle people. They've come out. They're upset with me. I apparently butchered my Fatty Arbuckle information.
Because they know
information.
You invented him?
No, he does exist.
No.
It's true. I got to clarify. I mean, you can't just go around slandering the legacy of Fatty Arbuckle on a 50,000-watt blowtorch.
Guy was dead by 45. You think it was the diet?
True story. I once played Fatty Arbuckle in a play in the 90s, and I was like, wow, can we do something about the name? I don't really like it. The answer was no. That was the guy's name. Like, what if we change that a little bit?
No,
you can't. It's true. It was a good show, though.
I mean, if your name was Roscoe Conkling Arbuckle, would you go by Fatty, too?
Well, Fatty was paying the bills, man. Fatty was getting it done. We'll expand. We'll explain.
Top five fatties in history. We'll discuss that.
You know,
next.
We'll work on that. We'll smoke one during the break. And we'll talk OJ next on 670 The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
We can erase it from the FCC.
Afternoons on The Score.
To my fellow fathers out there, happy Father's Day. First of all, Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope you're having a great holiday. Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. Happy Martin Luther King Day, incidentally.
Just means a lot. Means a lot coming from OJ. Big tribute to Soros show tonight over at Martyrs, performing the music of Willie Nelson. I'm not sure how big the crowd is going to be, frankly, because a lot of people are going to be home, kind of mourning the loss of OJ, having solemn sort of remembrances.
I mean, OJ's meant a lot to this show, right? So, I mean, it's understandable.
He really has.
It would really be.
True story, Chris Tannehill, first person I thought of. Absolute number one first person I thought of. Like,
that's your legacy,
man.
Tanny.
Yeah, it's a great one. It's a great one.
Not Marcia Clark, not Christopher Darden.
Right, yeah.
Nobody like that. Not old Bobby Kay, right. Kim Kardashian's papa. No. Thought of Chris Tannehill right away.
I mean, he was a great role model for murderers everywhere.
Apparently, Chloe got a lot of social media mentions just for people wanting to send their condolences to her, presuming that the juice was her father.
That's a hell of a conspiracy theory. Yeah. She looks like him.
Out there.
Oh, wow.
She's the only one that doesn't look like the other sisters, like Kim or Courtney.
Wow.
I mean, how do any of them look like each other? I mean, didn't they all just get surgically altered?
Yeah, it's true. It's a good point. It's a good point, and it gets tricky on that front.
It's hard to know.
Some of the conspiracy theories are quite something. I believe Tanny and Shane just learned about the idea that maybe OJ's son had committed the crimes.
Yeah.
That Jason had committed the crimes.
Because there was talk of like a figure being seen crossing the lawn at a certain point that maybe like fit the resemblance of OJ's son. I think that was part of the storyline.
You know, earlier when I said OJ at one point in his life, he murdered his wife and a waiter. A texter says, Speaks, love your commentary always, but I think it's wrong and disrespectful to say OJ Simpson murdered his wife and a waiter when he was legally found not guilty by a jury of his peers. Yeah, you know, on this one, I disagree. I'm okay with being disrespectful to O.J. Simpson because I think the jury was wrong.
What if you're being disrespectful to the legal system? Maybe that's it.
Well, I think the legal system has been exposed as having lots of issues.
Having flaws.
Right?
Flawed legal system.
Dude wrote a book called If I Did It, which was basically a confession.
If is the first word in the book, Matt Spiegel.
It's a small word it's part of the I in the setup of it. By the way, and I hadn't known this, that the Goldman family, they stopped OJ from printing If I Did It the way that he wanted to with the visuals. They own the rights, so they're the ones that made the if in the title as small as they did.
Okay.
So good job by them.
They should have just added working title to the end of it. That might have been actually more effective.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah. And then here's another. Though I totally enjoy your knowledge of sports, you may want to check the biography of Fatty Arbuckle. Okay?
Really?
Man was found innocent. There were witnesses, and Ms. Rapp said at the hospital that he did not attack her. Once again, I think you are a great host. Well, thank you for that.
But did they really put that part?
I said Fatty Arbuckle right up until he killed some people. And that's just not factually correct. It was only one person. And
singular person. And
it was debated as to whether he had actually done it.
Okay.
And all of that. So I apologize to the Fatty Arbuckle fans that are out there. Did you come up with any other fatties? You were looking for a top five list of fatties.
Came up with some fats. Very fond of Fats Domino.
Oh.
A blues pianist. Singer, songwriter. Yep.
Absolutely.
Oh, Blueberry Hill.
Absolutely.
Yep. Cannot get enough of that.
Minnesota Fats, man.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yep. Fat Lever.
Here. We got Antoine Fats Domino. Spike Lee's here. We got Brad Pitt. We had a chance to say hello to him.
Hub Arcus
on the sideline. Doesn't get any better than this.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Really? Hub joining the group.
Hub was hanging out with Fats Domino?
Is that James Lofton just jumping in there saying, don't forget, Hub Arkish is also
That's a thrill here. We got Antoine Fats Domino, Spike Lee's here. We got Brad Pitt. We had a chance to say hello to him.
Hub Arkish?
Hub Arkish on the sideline. Doesn't get any better than this.
We'll have to get a good Fats Domino story from Hub at some point.
Oh, my
God. Next time we chop it up.
We assume that you talked that day to Antoine Fats Domino. The topic earlier was, is there anybody who has led a quintessentially American life in the way that OJ did in terms of superstardom and success athletically, but also in entertainment as an actor and then as a broadcaster, and then the massive fall from grace, the controversy and the scandal, and you wouldn't say recovery, but you'd say decades of relevance after the fact.
Yeah, relevance is a good word.
Decades of relevance and a continued public presence into his 70s is quite something. And so we had some names that had come around earlier in the conversation. Which of the names that came around earlier resonated with you?
I felt like the Bill Cosby comp was maybe the closest comp because of the, you know, just the darkness of the crime, like just where he was America's dad, and then just the darkness of the crimes that were committed by Bill Cosby. I think that's the closest true comp to OJ. But I mentioned Tonya Harding being a name that immediately came to mind, just as someone who was infamous in the mid-90s, America's sweetheart for a little while, and then, you know, has someone kneecap Tonya Harding or Nancy Kerrigan. And, you know, she did try to continue to live a public life and almost embraced the bad girl sort of persona for a little while, too.
That part is a corollary.
Yeah, right. And just a couple of years ago, a movie comes out about her life that I would imagine she had to be involved with the production of to some extent.
I wonder about that.
I would think so. I know she was at least on the red carpet. I've seen pictures of Tonya Harding on a red carpet.
On the iTonya red carpet.
Yes, and I don't know if she was truly involved in the production, but I've seen her there actually taking it in at different points. So I think that was a part of where Nancy Kerrigan took issue with the movie, basically kind of propping up Tonya Harding as some sort of a victim in the situation.
I thought the Mike Tyson name was an interesting one because of his continued relevance even now as he's getting ready to fight Jake Paul here.
Now, Mike Tyson, I know, because some folks threw Kobe out there, and Mike Tyson, I equate closer to Kobe because it is an athlete and there's a sexual assault that's involved in there. Now, Mike Tyson goes to jail and comes out of it and then has reclaimed his public image. And Kobe very much reclaimed his public image before his death for a number of years as well.
Yeah. And then the other one, Pete Rose, which came up earlier, really resonated with me.
Yeah.
Super success and then scandal and failure, but continued relevance and even a media career that looked promising at one point. Texters got in with Michael Jackson. Michael, I mean, that is an insane American life. is Michael Jackson when you think about childhood stardom and then superstardom and then obviously horrific scandal and, right. and early death and never being out of the spotlight from the get-go.
I just watched when I was actually on the flight back from Australia. I was just watching something. They did a retrospective on Thriller.
Oh, okay.
On the Thriller album and just kind of what Michael Jackson was coming out of Jackson 5 and then the early solo career and then just every hit after hit hit on that Thriller album and just what it became and the global sensation that he was at that point from popularity to just, you know, a level of stardom that few have ever seen.
Is it wrong that I like Off the Wall as much as Thriller, if not more?
I think there's like one music critic who actually said that on the show, too.
That might be
disagree with you,
it might be too hipster to say.
Okay.
Really.
I mean, you are the consummate hipster of Chicago media, not?
That's grim. Martha Stewart came up as a name. Martha Stewart is a very interesting one.
Right.
And then Joe Paterno. Guy was in high school when Joe Paterno's legacy came tumbling down despite the people in Happy Valley trying to undo the damage. Similar vibes. Yeah, it's later in the career, later in the life.
Yeah, right.
But I remember how filmic that all felt, like his kind of epic tale, and it certainly has that kind of thing. Tiger Woods came up, and I think that's really interesting. By the way, he made the cut. 24th cut at the Masters for Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty amazing.
I did end up realizing I thought I was a golf fan for a while, mainly a Tiger fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, now that he's made the cut, I mean, he makes the cut every Masters, but all right, if he's doing something this weekend, I'll watch. If he's not really doing something this weekend, I probably won't watch.
Got a basketball thought for you, which goes with some oddly adorable audio that I'm looking forward to hearing.
Adorable.
So we'll do that. Top of the hour, sports weekend preview, including a couple destination spots that our guys have hit or are about to hit, that we will discuss all of that with you at Parkins and Spiegel right here on 670 The Score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Are you kidding me? Tune in to Twitch.
Afternoons on The Score.
DeMar DeRozan with 33 minutes tonight. We got a great note from Ethan Cooperson, who, despite the blowout, continues to work hard.
Yes.
So does DeRozan, and he's got 39. Maybe looking for a 40-piece before he calls it a night. The last guy to play at least 2,900 minutes at age 34 or more was Kobe Bryant in the 2012-2013 season when he played 3,000 minutes. Knocked away, loose ball, Terry's got it, Flynn knocked it free, Terry controlled it, Terry all the way!
Back it up, Terry!
Back it up, Terry! My goodness, that's just become part of the lexicon. That was a favorite moment on Parkins and Spiegel a couple months ago when we whiteboarded that with the meme of the dude on the in the wheelchair. Oh, God.
Terry, put it in reverse, Terry.
Back it up, Terry.
Put it in reverse.
Yeah, his name was Terry, which is why it works. God, I'm so glad these guys are here to help me clarify some stuff. I'd like to say I'm sorry for the Fatty Arbuckle information that I had wrong. I know that was deeply offensive to all of you guys. Speaking of the Bulls, by the way, did you see that the NBA on TNT crew finally had their Shaqt and a Fool fun with the Torrey Craig and Andre Drummond moment.
Yeah.
Oh, it's delightful.
Yeah.
It was very, very entertaining.
Stumbling all over each other on a fast break ends in injury, unfortunately.
They got the hardcore ribbing that they deserve. DeMar DeRozan wants to be back. A 15-year veteran wants to be a Bull. Continuing on here, yesterday morning after shoot around, talking about it. I know, right? It was that close. Shirt around. Which is one way to put on a top. Move that shirt around.
Yes.
This is what
everyone just gathers at center court. All right, everyone. What's your favorite shirt? Wear it today. What do you got? Tell me about your favorite shirt.
Let's go around. Everybody talk
also
about your
shirt.
Also,
Fats Domino hit from the 50s. The shirt around.
You do the shirt around.
Everybody doing the shirt around.
The shirt around. Oh, yeah, man. Freaking grooving. What's your favorite shirt, Ant? Don't answer that.
This one?
It's a good one. We're going to talk about that in our next segment, as a matter of fact. Right. Here was DeMar talking about the Bulls. Quote, I love ownership. I love everything about the city and the franchise, top to bottom. The front office, the staff we have. It's one of those places that gives me motivation to see everybody get what they deserve and feel what winning is like again. Goodness. So DeMar is a fan of the whole damn thing. I see that look on your face. It's hard to wrap your head around a future with this team as a contender with DeMar signed for multiple years. And it's too bad because I think the world of DeMar.
Right, I know you do.
As a player and a dude. I just hope that the contract is manageable.
He's a kind of part of your big FU to Zach LaVine, right? Because, like, if DeMar can do this,
absolutely.
Why shouldn't Zach be able to do this, too?
If they can move Zach somehow, some way this offseason, then maybe you can build a contender around DeMar and Kobe and Io and Vooch, but it's hard to picture it.
Yeah,
it's just hard to put it all together. But if you're going to lock up DeMar in a contract, you have to find a way to move Zach.
I'm finding it hard to even believe him. I mean, you know, he didn't just flat out say, hey, I want the Bulls to sign me. I'm going to do an extension right now. But he's keeping his options open, which makes sense, especially at his age. But I don't know. Does it make sense for DeMar at this point in his career? Why would he want to be here and do this as opposed to if someone else is going to pay him comparable money to go somewhere and win at a higher level? I would see that being desirable.
Apparently not, though. I think he likes being the star. He likes being the dude, but not even necessarily in like an arrogant, like I'm okay with losing kind of way.
Right,
just he likes being the leader, likes being, you know, comfortable, and this org makes him feel comfortable, and he's a classy dude.
Something to be said for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I see it and I get it. I just wish I could.
Should they want him back?
I wish I could picture the winning core with him as a part of it. I wish I could. I'm going to have to wrap my head around it in the offseason, that's for sure.
I don't see a version that makes sense.
Here's DeMar talking about Dale and Terry. Back it up, Terry! He's talking about their relationship, and I'm looking forward to hearing this. DeMar and Dale and talking about, how it goes with DeMar as the OG and Dale and Terry as the young pup.
So let's send it back out to Detroit and hear from DeMar DeRozan, who almost got a 40 ball tonight. He is with our KC Johnson.
Guys, with this victory, you clinched the 9 seed at home court advantage in that playoff game. What does that mean for you guys tomorrow?
Yes, sir, my boy, Deep Booty. Deep Booty. His grandma used to call him Deep Booty.
Do you remember the question?
Yeah, not as big. We wanted to make sure we secure, you know, that first game at home in front of our fans. You know, we need it, you know, redeem ourselves. You know, we plan for everything. You know, we got two more games after this, but securing the home game, big for us.
Alex Caruso hit the 65-game minimum tonight to be eligible for first-team all-defense. Does he belong a spot on the first-team all-defense?
Hell yeah.
1,000%. Excuse my son language, but 1,000%. You know, first-team all-defense. He's been tremendous for us on the defensive end all year.
And what did you think of your son tonight?
Oh, he's special. You know, he did a good job. You know, I'm proud of him. Give him a little applesauce tonight, he'd be all right.
With cinnamon, too.
Wow. All right, DeMar DeRozan is our player of the game, brought to you by, I'm sorry, man, brought to you by Great Clips.
Jason can't hold it in. Cinnamon applesauce for DeMar's son, Dale and Terry. That's adorable. I don't like the cinnamon in the applesauce.
No.
Does Bishop like the little
he's
applesauce?
Fond of applesauce.
Ruben still is, too.
Yeah.
He'll work it.
I don't think he's tried the cinnamon variety as much. Do some maple sugar and some oatmeal, maybe. Yeah.
I don't like the cinnamon. Get out of my applesauce, man. What are you doing?
Okay.
Apparently, Dalen likes it.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I mean, it was a quick recall on his part. I mean, he must still eat it.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Shane was laughing at me last week at Wrigley when I reached in to the fridge there in the Wrigley dining area, grabbed me an Uncrustable. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Still just so money. I stand by the Uncrustable as an adult snack. 100%.
You ever freeze them? Sorry, Danny. Do it again. Sorry.
Sorry, go ahead, Ant.
Sorry, Danny.
I was going to ask what Shane was snacking on.
Gabe, go ahead, man. Sorry about that.
Do you ever freeze your Uncrustables?
I have not. Should I do that?
Brother, let me tell you.
Yeah, tell me.
Big fan of Fatty Arbuckle, loved him frozen.
Some say that's how he died.
Some say
that's how he got so fat.
Oh, man. See?
Fatty Arbuckle, lived to be 46.
That's not old
had
enough.
Three wives.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well.
For that guy?
Yeah. I mean, he was very famous. He did very, very well. I want to hear what's going on in Vegas. I want to hear scintillating Vegas nightlife tales from our midday show who have thoroughly taken our spot in Vegas and we're unhappy about it. Let's hear how they're doing.
It's time for a Circa Las Vegas update with the midday show.
You know what I want to do? Hot air balloon.
No, thank you.
Wow.
That was your Circa Las Vegas update with the Midday Show.
Oh, yeah. It's a party now. Somebody's talking about maybe doing a hot air balloon. The other two people are shooting it down.
So they didn't get visited by Marky Mark. Mark Wahlberg didn't stop.
Oh, no,
by
that's right. That's what happens when we're out there. We go out there, Marky Mark makes
things happen.
Show. Yeah. Things happen on the show whether we're here or not. Those guys go out there and discuss and immediately shoot down the idea of a hot air balloon. They didn't shoot down the hot air balloon, to be
oh,
clear.
Man. No. That'd be something. That makes some news right there.
You ever been up in a hot air balloon?
I haven't. Oh. No. I'd like to check it out, though.
Outstanding.
My son Very was peaceful. Trying to do this slingshot thing. I think it was actually called the slingshot, something where basically they strap you into a chair and they just fling you up into the air while the you know, whatever the seat is that you're strapped into just starts from a ground position and just goes flying up into the air, and then you kind of spring up and down several times. He was just narrowly under the height requirement. My wife was not thrilled about his idea and that I supported it. She was thrilled that he didn't quite meet the height requirement.
Was this in Australia?
This is in Australia, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, he was very much looking forward to it. Just hearing the screams really appealed to him. He's like, oh, I want to do that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that sounds
scintillating. You got an aggressive young man there.
Seems to be, yeah, yeah. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't too displeased with the fact that he didn't meet the height requirement either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, would have been asking a lot.
Yeah, that's too bad. Yeah. I mean, but you got to me and Christina are taking Ruben to Universal out in Los Angeles next week. Going to ride some rides with that man.
All right.
And that probably means that I'll have to ride some roller coasters.
How are you on coasters?
It's been a while, man. Uh-huh. It's been a long time.
I notice in my 40s, I don't do as well. Like I get dizzy a little easier now than I ever have before. If I'm sitting in the back seat of a vehicle and starting to look at my phone for a while, every once in a while, I feel a little bit dizzy.
Oh, that still happens. That still happens
never happened to
me
before the last couple of years.
Really?
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to the coaster, but, you know.
Good luck.
I recommend the hot air balloon if you get the chance. It's very peaceful up there.
Yeah.
High look up forward in the sky. To. We've got a big sports weekend coming up. An incredible, very interesting matchup for the Cubs, a rarity that we actually get to watch. And then some destination venue stuff. Tanny on his way. Ant just came from one. Let's talk about it next on 670 The Score.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.